Unfortunately, we saw what we've been seeing from this court after they dismantled 60 years of affirmative action, 60 years of voting protection rights, 50 years of bodily autonomy, and just now with the Loper decision, 40 years of environmental justice protection. They dismantled rights for vulnerable people, for homeless people. I think Justice Sotomayor said it best in her dissent. She described the majority opinion by saying that the Supreme Court just told 650,000 homeless Americans to, quote, either stay awake or go to jail, end quote.
And, you know, what I found so vicious about this decision, I mean, there's just so much that's wrong about it. First of all, this court has been so hostile to the extension of the Eighth Amendment's cruel and unusual punishment prohibition, you know, for states and for government, that they, you know, just don't want to apply it, you know, anywhere. But this case on its facts, I mean, folks, think about it. How many of you who are just listening to this show have ever fallen asleep and slept in your car? You know, I mean, taking a cat nap while you pulled up to the grocery store, or, you know, pulled aside and said, I feel a little bit too sleepy, I want to get some rest. We do it all the time. Millions.
Absolutely.
Of them. We do it all the time.
One in four Americans at any given point in time, one in four of us worries, who's living paycheck to paycheck, is worrying about becoming homeless. We are far closer to being homeless than we ever are to being part of the billionaire elite who run this country and who can influence this court.
And I just think, I mean, and the only difference between most of us pulling up and falling asleep for an hour or so in the car, I mean, have you ever gone to, you know, I have done it, you know, gone to a window and knocked on it and waking a friend, and they've laughed and said, girl, I didn't know I was asleep. You know, that happens. And so but the only difference here is status, right? Is the status of being homeless. Right.
And so the majority couched its opinion, saying that it was a generally applicable law, that it covers everyone and prohibits everyone. That's farcical. I don't know if you've ever heard a famous quote by a guy named Anatole France, but the law in its majestic equality forbids the rich and the poor alike to sleep under bridges. Of course, the rich don't need to sleep under bridges. But even more insidiously, that's not what this law did. What this and what many other laws around the country, and make no mistake, this is a dog whistle, because Grants Pass was a sundown town, and I know you and your listeners know what that means.
No, remind them what a sundown town is. It's so important, because we talk about this, but let's keep our education going. Tell people the history of sundown towns. You can't understand Michael Brown being shot in Ferguson without understanding what a sundown town is. Tell people.
100%. So sundown towns are places in this country that both before the Civil Rights Act and after the Civil Rights Act, during and after Jim Crow, either through private criminal violent action, but often even through written laws, made it illegal for black people, and often other people of color, but primarily black people, to stay in that town after night on penalty of lynching in the most extreme cases, but using the levers of government power legally in many instances to arrest and otherwise displace, banish, and invisibilize people of color who were undesirable in those parts of the country. That's Grants Pass. That's Grants Pass's history. And that's exactly what the record shows they were trying to do in this case. The record has quotes all through it that they simply wanted to make it so uncomfortable to be homeless in Grants Pass that people would just get out. And that's acknowledging that being unsheltered and homeless disproportionately impacts Black, Indigenous, and people of color by even more than the jail and prison system.
So true. Thank you. And I, you know, Maggie, gee.
Yes.
You can't Thank you for being on our show. We can't use your full name because of privacy reasons. I'm really upset about, you know, this whole second class citizenship game that's being played against homeless people in our country. I'm mad at Gavin Newsom. I'm mad at these so-called progressives who supported this litigation because it is so inhumane that we can't. Maggie, wasn't the facts in this case that they didn't even have a shelter that people could go to? Because somebody out there said, well, they should have gone to a shelter. Honey, the city didn't even have a shelter. They didn't even pretend that they were trying to build one. Maggie, tell people what this case says to you and what you expect it will do to so many homeless people.
Well, I can tell you that shelters are allowed to discriminate against people with disability. It's built into the law. So people with disability, elderly people, people who are LGBTQIA, who are targeted, they are do not come into the shelter. Often shelters don't even have working bathrooms and showers, such as the case in my county. They're trying to fix everything. But of course, this shelter is in a tsunami area, and it's below sea level, and it's like everything, when it happens, it's going to be a mini Katrina. I'm right across the street from the ocean. So, this is no joke. This is true. The bathroom, when there's a king tide, the women's bathroom floods. They have pumps for the toilets that break. The showers don't work. So this can lead people to go and traffic themselves in order to get a shower, use the bathroom at a hotel with somebody who wants to let them come in exchange for whatever, you know, you name it, drugs, sex. So there's that aspect. There's the aspect of, we had a woman who got kicked out because she was yelling at somebody who was being disruptive. And she got kicked out, and she reported on camera, because she was on the bus with me, that the cops were moving her around while she was trying to sleep on the sidewalk. She ended up dead.
Oh, my Lord.
You know, a few days later, right after this happened. So, you know, don't tell me about cruel and unusual punishment. Don't tell me about people who are homeless, who despair, who end up committing suicide because the housing inventory is so low. We are the last, dead last, and social housing inventory of all the G7 nations.
Mm. So, and in fact,
go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, in fact, I was looking at a new index on life and quality of life in the United States is like 24th on the index. So don't be telling us about, you know, our system of government and our, you know, policies somehow benefit everybody. They just don't. There are 23 nations that do better than us. But let me let us go to you, Donald Whitehead, for a minute. Donald, you were there Saturday for the mass march with William Barber and other ones, you know, so many people trying to make sure to call to the attention the fact that there are millions of low income, low wage and poor people who can vote and try, who have the technical, quote, eligibility to vote, but have not been voting. Can you talk about you know, just what this case means to you, what the court has been doing, and what do we do about it? I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, what kind of jurisdictions are passing these laws? Where are the advocates? Why, you know, as people, you know, what do we do about this fear that people have of the homeless? Just let's talk this out some more.
Sure. And Barbara, thank you so much for being here and allowing me to be here. And thank the both of you. So there's so much conversation to have about this. But really, where it intersects with Reverend Barber's Poor People's campaign is that this is actually a continued assault on poor people by the criminal justice system.
Yes.
Many of the people who end up homeless, and Will, thank you for pointing out that the majority are people of color, are there because of interactions with law enforcement and fines and bail and other expenses that continue to double. One of the plaintiffs in this case, her fines had doubled up to $5,000. So impossible for people to be able to keep up with that kind of fine that really fuels the justice system. So all that aside, think about who else this particular decision impacts. The largest growing sector of the population of people experiencing homelessness is the elderly population, people 55 and older. The unsheltered population is made up in a large part of people with disabilities. So what the Supreme Court has done is said that we don't have adequate mental health facilities. We don't have adequate substance abuse facilities. And so since we don't have that, our response to that is going to be criminalization. And we got rid of vagrancy laws in the 70s. And so it's another instance of this particular Supreme Court eroding freedoms that were given to people decades ago. And it continues. It's an outright war on the poor. And so what can we do about it? We're partnering together, as you know, to register people to vote.
Because
you said something really important. These are local decisions. These aren't, you know, there's no federal law that says you should criminalize homelessness. And actually, communities do not have to do this. But many are doing it contrary to the fact that when people don't criminalize and they actually create more housing and more jobs and more social services, they're reducing homelessness. Mayor Bass, on the same day this decision was made, she announced that for the first time in decades, they were reducing the homeless population in Los Angeles. And how do they do it? Instead of arresting people, they put them in housing.
Right. Denver's another one, right? It's another one of the cities.
Denver, Milwaukee, Dallas. All of these places. Say again?
Yeah. No, go ahead. Yeah, that was Will, right?
By 92% the unsheltered homeless population by investing in housing first policies.
Right.
And so, folks, so don't we want to say to everybody listening that there's an answer? Go ahead, Donald. Because
there's
no answers here.
Absolutely. People have to get involved. People have to attend the meetings of their local city council, and they have to go to the state house and make sure that they're sharing, because we found, and I'll certainly give Will and his organization credit for this, through research that 75% of the people in this country, or 72%, don't believe that this is the right way to go. So we have to mobilize those people to say that to their elected officials, because that's the only way. I think the young lady before said, you know, we can't expect the federal government, the administration, or any local official to save us. We have to demand that this kind of thing be turned around, and we can only do that at the poll. We can also do some organizing like the Reverend Barber's doing. But the real answer is, if the right people aren't making the right decisions, they shouldn't be in office.
Amen.
And you know, Donald, one of the things that I find that's really interesting, if I may, Barbara, one of the things I find that's really interesting with this decision and looking at the trend, because, you know, I'm a trend line person, right? So, you know, we're looking at them decriminalizing marijuana and criminalizing homelessness. Yeah. You know, and not only criminalizing homelessness, right, but in this case, with the multiple arrests, as you were mentioning, they end up incarcerating people because they are unhoused, because they don't have the financial ability